The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thanks for being with me today. Online with me is a guy I've known for several years. His name is John Nasby. John is a worker in the whole industry that our radio station is a part of. He is a helper with ministries. His official title is syndication manager with Douglas Shaw and Associates, and they're based in Chicago, but John is himself based in Orlando. John Nasby, welcome to my program.
Great to be here.
It's always fun to talk with you, and you and I got to be together a year ago. That was the last time we got to spend any significant time talking, and that's when up in Gainesville we were so privileged to have Erwin Lutzer from the Moody Church and Running to Win radio show that is on The Shepherd. He was the guest speaker for the National Day of Prayer festivities that go on up in Gainesville every year, and that was the first year we brought in a guy of that name, and you were there too. You're a friend with Erwin, so that's really cool that you knew him. And of course, my knowing you predated even that event. But John, it's so great to have you on my program. You're coming across the entire network of stations that we have. That would include Gainesville, Ocala, the Villages, and of course Orlando. So welcome today. And how have you been doing with all of the COVID-19 mess?
Well, actually quite well. And my family, I have three children and a wife here in a place called Oviedo, just outside of Orlando's city limits. And we have one that's graduating from high school, one that has graduated from college. I might add University of Florida there.
There you go. Go Gators.
Yeah. And then and my wife and I are actually also graduates of University of Florida. So Gainesville, and getting up to Gainesville last year for the National Day of Prayer with Pastor. That's kind of my old stomping grounds. And then we have an older son, and he is working from home right now. And so we're all together, either going to school, working. And but yes, we, it's been different, but it's been really a blessing in a lot of ways.
In what ways would you see that?
Well, I just, it really, obviously it slows you down. I'm getting a lot of reading done that it's just been, some real great thinkers, writers that have blessed me over the last several weeks. Of course, a lot of honeydew projects around the house that,
right,
man, just gives you time to focus there. I know a lot of people are hurting, and so I don't discount that. And I know at our church, we really launched a benevolence fund as a result of this. And and the hurt is real. So,
what church are you part of in the Oviedo?
Part of Oviedo City Church. It used to be called Northland Oviedo. So we were part of Northland for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year, 2 years ago, we officially changed our name. It was all good. But they knew that we were ready to do our own thing. And they blessed us and launched us very nicely.
Well, that's wonderful. So that would have been under Joel Hunter originally.
Exactly.
Then. Yeah. Well, that's great, John. And it's always great to have friends that are in the same area. Of course, we relocated back down in, it seems like 10 years ago, but it was only October. But this whole lockdown thing has made the last couple of months feel a lot longer than it has been. And I'm glad to know that you're getting the reading done. And it sounds like you're using this time very wisely. Now, you're not originally from this part of the country. Where did you hail as a young man? Where were you raised up?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force, so I was born in Germany, but then traveled the country, and And then he retired. And when he retired, he moved the family to South Florida. And so went to high school in South Florida, went to school at the University of Florida, as I shared. And then afterwards went back and started working actually for a steamship line in Riviera Beach, Florida. So that's where I started my work career in South Florida.
Tell me about your faith experience. Were your folks, did you grow up as a believer in a believer family?
Well, we very, very devout Lutherans. So church was always a very important part of our lives. But for me, growing up, it didn't, you know, I wasn't clued in, wasn't really seeking the Lord, didn't really know much about a relationship with Him. And it was actually through when I was working as a sales rep for this containerized shipping company, a new sales rep came on board who was a believer, and he invited me to church. And I said, sure, I mean, I know church. And through that process, God just opened my heart. And I tell folks that He woke me from my slumber and gave me really new eyes, new heart, and really eternally grateful for a friend who reached out and invited me. And I said yes. So,
you know, I think that is the story that is shared by so many people, John, that they have an idea of what church is like or what it was for them growing up. And then, though, as they get older, they go to high school, they go to college, and maybe even as you were out as an adult working, before something like an invitation from a friend happens. And even though now you're an adult with, you know, and so many adults think because they grew up in a church that they've got that part, they've done that, been there. And yet now that becomes something very real, something very meaningful, and something impactful in their lives. What advice would you have to just, let's say, people like your friend who might be listening right now, who might even have a John Nasby type friend that they are reaching out to, as being a person who was impacted by the Lord through a relationship invitation, the way you were? What advice would you have for that person?
I would say, you know, be authentic. You know, there's really nothing that, and again, we can agree to disagree, but looking back on my experience, it was totally God. And yes, I showed up, and yes, I would made myself available. But, you know, so often we try, I think, too hard. And I would just say, love your friend well. You know, really understand the journey that they're on. Understand that it really, I mean, when you think about it, salvation is a miracle. And if we can keep that miracle fresh in our story, we can really approach other people with that same, hopefully, anticipation, but also just that same love that, you know, again, my friend showed me. So I was reading something the other day where it talked about the two things that non-believers wish more believers would give them. And one of them is obviously probably comes down to judging, you know, the non-judgmental attitude is one, but also they also said that don't require me to make an answer, to give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So often we want to go, okay, this is the, you know, this is it. Now, do you want to receive Christ? And I'm not saying that's not a question we might ask, but boy, there's just, I don't know. I just found that interesting. Those are two things that non-believers wish that more folks that knew the Lord would be a little bit more caring about.
Maybe patient.
Their journey. Patient.
A little bit more patient. And what I'm hearing you say too is that as we are in a relationship, a friendship with a person, be it a workmate or maybe somebody in the neighborhood, what I'm hearing you say is that just be yourself and be patiently living your life out in a real way, but looking for those right moments without making those moments happen. Would that be pretty fair?
Boy, that is extremely fair.
Well, I think that's a good word. And you know, John, there is a one of the silver linings that we're seeing happen during this time of lockdown, where a lot of people are spending a lot more time. I'm reading that there are a lot of people who are giving fresh, let's say, attention to and maybe asking themselves a lot of questions about God that weren't doing that before. And so if this whole COVID thing could be, let's say, a motivation for people to come closer to God, what a wonderful silver lining that would be.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Who are your favorite authors? I got to ask that. When I hear somebody's liking reading, I need to find out, what books do you enjoy? Who would be your favorite author?
Okay. Well, I don't have a favorite, but I'm giving you two things that I'm reading now. One of them is called Falling Upward by Richard Rohr. I just finished that, and it's the subtitle is A Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life. And then I just started this book from written by Parker Palmer, and it's On the Brink of Everything, Grace, Gravity, and Getting Old. So you can kind of get a sense that you know, I think as we age, we obviously have different you know, seasons of life, but both these authors talk about mentoring, and I do some work with seniors. We have a weekly gathering that seniors come together. Right now it's actually on Zoom, but we hope to be able to gather soon.
Mm-hmm.
And but just that idea of boy, what an opportunity for seniors to really impact other people's lives by, you know, don't waste those gray hairs on, you know, really reach out to a younger population. And I think they would welcome it. But again, it's just one of those things. So both those books have challenged me in that area. And those are the two that I'm reading now.
Well, thanks for sharing that. It's always good to hear what another person is reading and how it is impacting, maybe changing the way they look and what they're getting prepared for in their life. And that sounds like that's having a really great impact upon you. My guest today is John Nasby, and he is a syndication manager. He works for this company in Chicago, although he himself is based in the near Oviedo area. And John has as clients people like Erwin Lutzer, who is with Running to Win, the radio program that is on our airwaves all across the Shepherd Radio Network, and what a fun guy he is. We'll be talking more with John about that coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. On the line with John Nasby. John is a syndication manager. He works with groups, mostly, I would say most of the organizations you work with would be believers, or a believer network of people who own these businesses or in ministries. Wouldn't that be the case with Douglas Shaw?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we do also, you know, some relief organizations, but I would say majority have a faith-based, you know, focus.
Now, when you started working with Erwin Lutzer at that point, did you have actual broadcast experience as well?
Well, I started syndicating back in 93 with D. James Kennedy. He had a program called Truths That Transform,
mm-hmm,
in Fort Lauderdale, and I was living in South Florida at the time. It had no background in radio. Saw the opening and just interviewed for it. And, you know, within syndication, it's more relational. So my role is just forming relationships with radio stations all over the country and understanding their needs. And then if clients that I represent, if they meet those needs, then talking to them further and then negotiating what that relationship might look like. So worked with D. James Kennedy for about 3 years. And then
were you able to work with him personally?
Well, we not, I mean, that's, Dr. Kennedy was, obviously he had a lot of different hats he wore. And so I would say he was not as close to the radio program as other folks I've represented in the past, but we had an opportunity. We went to lunch one time and got to know each other a little bit, but you know, he was a pretty private man, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you have these great preachers, you know, they are not the most outgoing relational people. At least that's what I have found. Not all the time, but a lot of times that's the case.
And boy, how not true is that of Erwin Lutzer? When when you meet Erwin Lutzer, you've met somebody quite unique. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, and funny. I mean,
oh my goodness!
A lot of times, you know, in the program Running to Win, you know, you don't get that opportunity to laugh with him. But he's got an unbelievable sense of humor, and so when we gather, and usually it's, you know, a couple times a year, either in a phone conference or in person, that I've come to really appreciate Pastor.
You know, one of the most fun evening meals at a restaurant that I've had in recent years happened with you, John, and it was last May. And just to tell a little bit of that story, it was my first face-to-face meeting with Erwin Lutzer. I've heard him on the radio for years, love his teaching, and he's also a marvelous voice. He has a great voice, a great speaking voice, and does he ever do an amazing Billy Graham impersonation?
So, yes.
It's spot on. But we're at this restaurant, and we come in, and we are all, you know, I walk in, and we're all standing in the back, and that's my first meeting with Erwin personally, and from the get-go, this man never meets a stranger. He sizes everyone up very, very quickly. He knows how to make them laugh, and he is gifted by God with a charm and just a grace about him that is just so, it's so amazing, it's so inviting. And the first thing, you know, I mean, even the lady that was our server, the hostess at the table, he had her in stitches from the moment we're sitting there. The way he just talks and makes jokes, and he really is, if there's ever a life in the party, it's Erwin Lutzer.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it really, I think what you said is he recognizes people.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree.
So you were working with this church down there with D. James Kennedy, and what a great man of God he was, and his teaching was so fantastic. Did you ever see yourself at that point making the move? Of course, as a kind of like a military child, they used to call them brats. I don't know if they still do or if that's politically correct to do that. Forgive me if it's not, but that's what I grew up hearing anyway. But you traveled all along. What drew you to Oviedo?
Well, after 3 years with Dr. Kennedy, was just really sensing that there was, you know, something else that's going to happen. And I got a call really out of the blue from RBC Ministries, now known as Our Daily Bread Ministries, and they were looking for a syndication manager to replace someone on their staff. So that was the second step, at least within syndication, where I had my wife and I had one child at the time, and so we packed up, moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I don't think I've ever been to Michigan before that. And it was 9 years, and it was a great experience, but we also knew that it was time probably to come back to Florida. And
I'm laughing because I know a lot of friends in Michigan, and to me, Michigan is a fun place to be from, but boy, it's cold up there. It's really cold.
And honestly, my wife comes from a Jewish background, and so the culture of South Florida and the Jewish culture down there, she missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also missed being closer to you know, she has a brother and sister. I have two brothers. They all lived in Florida. And so their kids were growing up, and we kind of wanted our kids to have an opportunity to get to know, you know, their cousins. So just an opportunity came about where, you know, they gave me an opportunity to do what I do, but from our home in Oviedo. So that's kind of what they kind of took a risk. This was obviously, you know, nowadays a lot of people are working from home, and COVID-19, mm-hmm. a lot of folks are exploring that, and maybe that is a good fit. Back then, when I first presented it to RBC, it was like, no. I mean, it was, and I go, okay. But after time, they said, yeah, this might work. And so ever since then, 15 years ago, I've worked from my home in Oviedo.
Well, that is really an awesome thing. I have been doing that a lot during the last couple of months. It's such a freeing thing. Not everybody likes it. Not everybody, I think, prospers in their work as much as other people do. But it is a real nice privilege to be able to do that, to spend in your home and to do the kind of work. And I've got great friends that do very, very well, and they enjoy it, and it's wonderful. And other people like to be out of the house, in an office, and then when they walk out of that office, they leave it behind and they're gone, and then they go, and their home is a solace for other things that's in their life. But if you can just manage that little question about not working sun up to sundown or all night long, then that's a real benefit to be able to do that. Glad that it's worked out so well for you, John. Hey, yeah. You know, as you look over your shoulder now and think about all of the experiences that you've had with working with the likes of Erwin Lutzer and all of that, what do you think is the cumulative effect that you've seen happen in the last couple of years? Because there, a number of years ago, people kind of declared radio dead, you know, with all of the stuff that's gone on. And there seems to be at least a bit of movement where radio is now being looked at again freshly. It's like, no, it's not. This thing is really kind of like a springboard for all of the things that we have on podcasts and things like that. From the standpoint of being a syndication guy, what do you see the impact that the whole culture is having right now on your business?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, every ministry is different, but what we're seeing is actually support for radio, at least the clients that we represent, is very, very positive. You know, I think what it comes down to is, as you've been building relationships with your listeners over the years, you know, the communication, in addition to just the on-air presence, but how you're communicating with them through mail, through various online resources, it's what we're finding, that giving is actually better than it has ever been. And so, and that tells you the value people place in resource. So it, as with any other medium, it has its loyal audience. It's got its target audience. It might be smaller in some cases. But I think what COVID-19 has said to a lot of radio ministries is, it's still, boy, I mean, to turn on your radio and to have that relationship with, you know, the particular host of the program, or goes a long way when you're really seeking and wanting community. So we've been surprised at Douglas Shaw at just the response that we have seen on the radio side.
Well, that's very encouraging for those of us that are in radio. And, you know, another thing that's happened with technology, John, is that every person that has a smartphone, and who doesn't these days, I'm pretty sure that that's like one of the gifts given at a one-year-old's party. It's, here's your own iPhone. How about that? You know, so if you have an iPhone or if you have an Android, you have an app that you can download for just about any radio station. And I'm grateful the Shepherd has two of them, one for our stations up north. We have one just for the Orlando station. And any iPhone becomes a dedicated radio receiver. That's amazing for most stations to have streaming capabilities. And so you get radio on demand carried with you. You don't even have to be in your car or on a radio in your home. You can just have it right at the couch, right in your own phone. And that might also be a reason why people are taking, you know, this second look at programs like those that you represent.
Yeah, and I think, it comes back to, they might be first timers, but a lot of times it's who has spoken to your life in the past? Who is someone that has some credibility out there? And, so often we kind of move away from the main thing. And so I think a lot of folks go back to who they've trusted over the years, and maybe they're returning to Christian radio in some cases, or accessing the resources, maybe not through over the air, but like you said, through their websites or apps or whatever that they're offering. Mm-hmm. So it's an exciting time. It's just as COVID-19 has really taught us all is be flexible. Some things are going to change. I mean, we've discovered that we can probably do without some things. And I think that's going to be good. And so let's be open to change. I mean, you can see how it's impacted even our gatherings on Sunday or Saturday or whenever you gather with other believers. We're really wrestling with, okay, what have we learned, and how can we connect even more fully with the body besides just the gathering on Sunday or Saturday or Monday?
Hey, we've got John Nasby on the line. John is a syndication manager with some great Christian programming. That's how we've met John and his relationship with people like Erwin Lutzer at Running to Win. And another one is Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage. We'll talk more about that coming up in a moment with John Nasby here on The Shepherd. This is Afternoons with Mike. I'll be right back. What a delightful time I'm having with my friend John Nasby. John is a syndication manager for a company called Douglas Shaw & Associates. And, John, getting to work with people, getting to work with radio ministries, and I really do appreciate the fact that we still have that we still have what's called a teach-talk format. That's that might be new to some people, but basically it's Christian pastors, Christian programming on the radio. And for years, it's been around a long time. It's not a brand new thing, but it has morphed into what we have today. And there's this combination where talk radio, which is so effective, programs like mine, and then we have some national programs that we have on every day, like Dan Celia, who has a 3-hour talk program in the morning called Financial Issues. And he basically focuses on things like investments, and he's sponsored by the Timothy Plan. So we have both that kind of programming and what I'm doing mixed in with great teaching programs like Tony Evans, Erwin Lutzer. Another one that I know you're associated with to some degree, I'd like to know how you met the folks at Moving Forward with Dr. Stephen Rummage. Tell us about that.
Well, it really came about because it was an introduction. Stephen was pastoring a church in the Tampa Bay area, and he had a radio program that aired on the Moody affiliate down there. And then he was introduced to Rich Bott, who some of your listeners might know. I mean, Bott Radio is a huge network, primarily in the Midwest. And he started airing his program on the Bott network. But over time, the reality is this, that you can have a presence on air, but you also need to form relationships with your listening audience. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, male relationship, internet relationship, et cetera. And so Rich actually recommended that Stephen talk to the folks at Douglas Shaw and Associates. And so through that introduction, we started working with Stephen, and he subsequently has taken a pastorate in Oklahoma City. And but we're working with him in a variety of ways. But also I handle the syndication for Moving Forward. He has, it's a daily 25 minute that obviously the Shepherd airs. We also now have a weekend edition, which is a 25 minute version. And we also now have a 1 minute devotional. It's called the Moving Forward, or Moving Forward Minute. And so those are three of the programs that are coming out of there. But what I love about Stephen, as well as Erwin, is he's extremely close to the program. He's passionate about radio. At NRB, which is our annual gathering for you know, radio station managers, et cetera, that he shares often with people that he really, as the Word of God says, that the spoken word, the power of the spoken word. And so that's what really drew him to radio. And so passionate about Christian radio, and it's been a joy to get to know him. He's married, has one a son who actually lives in the Tampa, St. Pete area. I think he's going to school at University of South Florida, and he's studying, excuse me, something to do with the sciences. And but it's been a joy to get to know him and his family.
How have you seen, I know you mentioned that a lot of the ministries are kind of like maybe even on a growth spurt during this whole crisis. But when you have a ministry like that, are you seeing ministries like with Stephen or Dr. Erwin Lutzer, are you seeing them grow in the numbers of outlets that they have, in addition to just being able to continue to grow financially through giving? I'm so grateful to hear that report. Are they being able to expand onto other stations in this day and age?
Well, and if you don't mind, I'll go through. There's a lot of a variety of relationships we have with radio stations. And so my approach is this a program that really meets the needs of your listening audience? So anytime I contact a radio station, that's my first question. And then if it's a program that they feel that they want a part of their lineup, then we talk about, well, how can we make that work? A lot of our relationships, we pay directly the station to air the program. There's also some stations that we work with that we actually share the revenue. So at the end of most programs, as you know, there's a offer that's given, either a book or a tape or something like that, that folks can respond to for a gift of any amount or something like that. And so we share the revenue with the radio station. And in some cases, the station says, hey, we don't require our programmers to pay us for anything. We just, you know, rely on the donations of our listening audience. So those are three ways that we work with radio stations. But I think the most important thing is, you know, when I approach a radio station is, hey, is this something, do you know the program? Have you listened to the program? If you haven't listened to the program yet, let's start there. Listen to the program, and is it a good fit for your station?
Now, most of the programs that we have on Monday through Friday, like you said, are 25 minutes in length. We do have some programs like the Moody Church Hour on the weekends. That's 55 minutes. And boy, that one is a fun one because it comes from the Moody Church in Illinois, up around Chicago. And of course, Erwin Lutzer is the speaker in that one. And it is so much fun to hear that. And, you know, the beautiful thing about all of these is that you're getting a 25-minute edited message that most people in a city like Orlando, if they catch in, one of our programs, they can listen to a good bit of it on a drive just about from anywhere to anywhere. I mean, if you're in Orlando, it's not uncommon to be in the car on a trip that's over 20 minutes to go to your destination. So you can get in that 20-minute time, rather than just invested either on a phone or listening to music. I love all of that. Believe me, I do. But I find myself, John, just getting enwrapped in an ongoing, and especially if you do this trip at the same time every day on your way home, it's really great to hear the serial building of a message or a theme of messages. And that is one of the benefits, I think, that Christian radio brings, is the ability to bring the word in such a little bite-sized bit like that.
Yeah. And really, whatever your schedule is, I think it comes down to that. If you're, a lot of times, depending on the airtime of the program, et cetera, it might not necessarily work for you when you're in your car or whatnot, but you can go to the website. All ministries have the daily. You can, like you said, you can get the app, you can listen to it as you're exercising. So, but it all starts with the radio program, and then it's diffused into all these other formats. So, where, I think it's a totality, and that's where we're finding ministries that have made it accessible in whatever form you want it in are the ones that are seeing really the best response, and are open to providing that resource.
Now, you mentioned something that I think is worth taking a moment and just, first of all, to express thankfulness to God that people are doing this, that people do give. And, there is that usual appeal or that offer, as you said, at the end of these programs. I think it would be fascinating to hear someone on your side give the explanation of just how dependent these ministries that provide this rich teaching through either on air as it is with the Shepherd or on our podcasts that is now available on the Shepherd website or by going to one of these ministries' websites. They often will offer the teaching there as well, as like you said. But how important is it that the audience who really loves and listens faithfully and loyally to these programs, how important is it that they make an offering to these people?
It really, at the end of the day, that's how we gauge. It's one of the ways how we gauge success. Okay. So when you're talking about, is a program meeting a need in your community? If really the only way we know is by response. So by you responding, and we know that not everybody's going to respond, but by you responding, that gives us an indication. And ultimately, the majority of those funds actually go back to the station to keep them on the air. So it's really a community working together that makes the whole thing work. And so, so I would say, obviously, key, we measure response. Mm-hmm. We look at different markets. We look at different times. We know that, Erwin Lutzer, in some parts of the country, the message might not be as well received as other parts of the country. Same thing with Stephen Rummage. We see response. And then you got the issue of, you talk about expansion. In some places, we're not able to expand. The only way we're able to expand is actually commit to a certain dollar amount to that radio station. And so that is an area where we say, okay, we're trusting that there's going to be enough response from that area to cover the airtime that we have to pay. So it's we do a lot of work at response, and it comes down to bottom line, it comes down to response. And so we try the best we can to build a relationship with a listening audience via either, snail mail, email, mm-hmm. on air, a lot of times we'll call and just see how things are going. But it's response is key. If you don't respond, when you are really blessed by a particular teaching, I would highly encourage you to know that that's key. And for that, for us to continue to air on the station, it takes response. And
you know, one of our ministries sent us a letter recently, John, and I think this will encourage you, that it just came out of the blue, but there was up in, I think it was somewhere in the Ocala area at a correction institute. So it would be like a minimum security prison. There was a lady who was in a ladies' prison that caught on to a program and was so blessed by the ministry. And they just don't have these people. You talk about being shut in. These people are truly in lockdown. I mean, in a real literal sense of the word lockdown. And yet through the radio, they were able to listen to radio and caught one of our ministries and sent. This is the most amazing thing. Not only did they send a most encouraging and grateful letter, but also included some money. Now, a person, I just had to get my brain around that. I don't know how they arranged that, but they sent this person a gift. It was a $50 bill. Sent it to this ministry as a way of saying, I don't know what I would be doing without you. This person had come to Christ in prison and told their story and is grateful for this ministry. And that kind of good news, that kind of feedback is, that's an amazing reality of just how powerful the ministry and how important this ministry really is to people who are in there. I can't even imagine. I can't get my brain around that one.
And that's a good point too. Is sometimes, you know, it's not about us, and so supporting Christian radio is about supporting, you know, those folks who are in, you know, jails or whatnot.
True lockdown, right?
Nursing homes. You know, you just don't. And a lot of times they might not be able to give. I mean, most prisoners aren't able to give. I mean, that's just the reality. So that is a miracle that they gave, somehow arranged for $50. But they know, their family knows. Hear this, take this example. Obviously, they're in there for a reason. Something happened in their life, whatnot. God got a hold of their life in prison and through this radio station. So when they're talking to their family that now knew this person and they have changed, okay, they more than likely the family made it happen, obviously, because they're grateful for this radio station and their presence in their loved one's life.
Yes.
So I think it really comes down to this non-consumerism type of thing that so often, you know, yes, we can feed on the Word of God and we can use Christian radio to feed ourselves. But knowing that Christian radio feeds others and your support of Christian radio, how it feeds others, is equally as important.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is another area. I was talking to Matt Staver on Friday from the Liberty Council, and Matt brought up an important I think it's just a realization that a lot of people take for granted that people are able to watch their Sunday services on streaming during this very difficult time of COVID-19 in which we are all experiencing right now. But he said there are a lot of churches that do not have that technology, nor do the people that attend those churches. And it only takes just a little bit of study to realize that one of the most large groups of population that is in America today would be the aging boomers, of which I'm one. I'm a boomer, and you know, we're a bunch of people that is still a part of this American nation that we have, and a lot of people really either they never got into it or they didn't want to get into the technologies. They like to keep their radio station that's there, and it's important to have that radio station because it's still, while a lot of young kids, maybe millennials, they maybe not listening to, they're not listening to radio as much as maybe our older population is. That does not take away from the fact that the older population still depend greatly on these radio ministries for comfort, for teaching, oft times just for connection to the Word of God. And so it is very important we not lose sight of that and not just say, yeah, it's not important. It's very important.
Well, and you never know somebody's story until you get to ask questions. So prime example, I was talking to a gentleman the other day who hasn't been able to check out the We Do Ours on Facebook Live, our Sunday worship. And he said, you know, John, as I got to know him, I go, well, man, let's get you a smartphone, man. We can make that happen. He goes, well, I've got a porn addiction. And so, okay. So he's trying to, you know, struggle with that. And a smartphone, he realizes that that's a temptation, that he doesn't want to go there. And so we started meeting at an office on Sunday morning. I bring my laptop and we watch the service together. But you take him, the radio is key.
Mm-hmm.
Key. And we just think, oh, well, just, you know, buck up and get a smartphone. In some cases, that's not the way that we really want to encourage him to go. And so he was honest enough to say, this is a struggle. And I need to have these hedges of protection around me. And one of them is not to have a smartphone.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, for people that are fighting that one, this is a very difficult day and age in which to live, because there was a time that people had to, they had to work a lot harder at feeding such addictions. But in this day and time, it's right there, it's in your pocket. And if you're struggling and there's a weakness that's there, and the Bible says, gives us that picture about if there's a weakness, you pluck it out. Well, people are doing that with phones and they're just saying, I can't do it. And what do we do for people like that? That's a great example that radio is a wonderful, wonderful substitute for a person who's fighting such an addiction as that. What is looking over our time that we've got left here, John, what is it looking like for you and your church over in Oviedo with regards to reopening? What is happening with you guys? What discussions, what thoughts are you thinking happening?
And actually, we do gather at RTS, by the way. we rent out the chapel there on Sundays. So what we're doing is the last Sunday in May, we are having a gathering out in the lawn. There's a huge area at RTS that was never developed. And every year we have a trunk or treat out in the back parking lot. So we're just doing an initial gathering out. You know, bring your lawn chairs. You'll be 6 feet apart. And obviously it'll be outside on that last Sunday morning. Then the first Sunday in June, we are gathering. We are going to be moving our service times farther apart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're familiar with the chapel there, so we're going to be every other pew, we're going to be gathering and then doing some things. Obviously, we're not going to have our meet and greet just for a while, just because, for obvious reasons. And then during service or between services, we're going to be, you know, cleaning and et cetera. So that's why our services are going to be spread out a little bit farther so that we can clean between. And then at least for June right now, we're not going to have any children's ministry just because it's extremely difficult to keep them apart.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes.
And they'll be, you know, just visiting or meeting with, sitting with their families in the pews. So that's how we're launching. So we got one more week of online Facebook Live, and then we're going to be starting to gather the last Sunday in May.
Well, we're very excited for that day when all the churches are going to be able to come back together again and enjoy fellowship. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and we want to do it in the right way, in the right time, and taking the right considerations to heart. And I appreciate for you're giving us that update. And man, I appreciate your being on my program with me today, John. It's been a real treat to have you on. If you just tuned in and missed this, well, let me tell you, there's some good news for you. You can either listen to us again tonight at 9:05. Of course, if you're listening to this at 9:05, then you'll want to say, okay, here's the next option, and that's to go to the website, The Shepherd Radio. And it's theshepherdradio.com. Let me get the whole address. And look under the logo, Afternoons with Mike. And the first stage of our developing podcast will be available. So look for that. And if it's not there when you first check, it will be. And you can also see some of the more recent episodes of the program already on there. So John Nasby, thank you for being with us. And when you can, say hello to Dr. Lutzer for me. It's going to be great to get to have him on our program, hopefully real soon.
There you go. We'll try to make that happen. And thanks for having me.
All right, friends. And thank you for being with me, too. And we'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.